Welcome to episode 101 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. So, 2013 is now well underway, and what a busy start to the year I've had so far. For those of you who didn't see the quick post I put on the website, a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I welcomed a beautiful baby girl into the world. Now, given that she arrived a little earlier than expected, a number of my New Year plans have had to go on hold whilst a lot of attention is given over to her. For example, I was due to be out on a wild camping and photography trip either in the Brecon Beacons or Dartmoor last week. Now, these will still be taking place in the near future, just a little bit later than intended. One thing I did manage to take time out for, though, was a day spent gathering exclusive content behind the scenes at another of this year's Focus on Imaging press advert photo shoots. As you can imagine, it was a great, lively atmosphere on location, with the results clearly communicating the passion which we all share for photography. So anyway, enough of this preamble. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 101. It's coming up to midday and I am in the centre of Portsmouth. As I look out across the water with, what have we got here, HMS Warrior in the water here. It is a beautiful sunny day, blue sky, and the location that I'm at does not actually match the beautiful weather and the beautiful scenery. I'm actually on the 10th floor of a car park, and as I speak to you, I have a surveillance camera looking at me, and in front of me I have 1, 2, 3, 4 cars, a number of lights set up, and a huge quantity of photographic equipment, everything spanning from 400mm Nikon lenses through to MacBook Pros, ISO monitors, Bowens lights. So much stuff that if you're a bit of a gear junkie, you would want to be here. The reason I am here, and as I look in the distance, I have Matt Sills, my friend and photographer colleague, who is doing his very best to put me off, which he usually does successfully. Matt is here shooting the latest Focus on Imaging press ad image, and I won't give too much away, partly because I don't know exactly what time, when this is actually going out. There are certain things that I can and can't say at this point, but all will be revealed in the fullness of time, because I'll be writing up another report just like the previous one that I did, and of course I'll be linking to that previous one in the show notes. So, as I as I stand here with Matt doing his very best to put me off, I'm just going to walk you guys around to look at the kit, and we'll talk about what's in front of us. So, in front of me immediately, I've dug out of my cupboard my old Nikon D200, purely because it has a really good time-lapse feature on it. And on that is set up a Sigma 10-20mm, and that is shooting every 30 seconds a frame, and you may have just heard that there, a frame of the scene that we are constructing. And this scene is a car with the boot open, with a roof rack, and off of the roof rack and out of the boot we're going to be draping all this thousands and thousands of pounds worth of photographic gear. And as we stand here, you've got lighting stands and sandbags and all sorts of softboxes and all the bits you'd expect. So the D200 is just recording a time lapse every 30 seconds, and I'll probably change the position at some point once we've got the actual set constructed. When it comes to arranging the lighting, at that point, then I'll probably change the angle so you get a better view of the set. Just coming to the left of the camera here, just sort of in position on a stand with wheels, with casters, is a 7-foot Profoto reflector dish, which is huge, 7-foot, lovely, with an acute B head in it. Behind that, we've got boxes upon boxes of camera gear, and as I look into these boxes here, we've got Epson printers, and we've got this Nikon lens, we've got some Epson paper, we've got some Elinchrom lighting in boxes, albums, there's some Katter bags here, pocket wizards. Oh, I've just spotted that. What have we got here? Ah, very nice, the Flex TT5 transceivers. If you haven't heard of those, check them out. They're rather snazzy. What else have we got? There's more printers. Limelight mosaic light panels. And then I'm now just at the far end of the set, essentially. Well, I say at the set of the space we're working in. It is completely completely empty on this level. We've deliberately picked the 10th floor because the car park is in regular use. And I'm just going to walk up a bit of a slope here. So this actually takes me up onto the 11th level, a little bit quieter just for the time being. One of the things that is key to today's success is in my hands the Contigo Aria flask, which I will link to because I did a test review of that some time ago, doing a great job with my tea in it, keeping me nice and warm. So as I stand here, there's some sort of metal grid sort of looking down. So what I'm actually doing here is I'm assisting, putting lighting up and just helping around the place. But of course, my main focus is to be recording all of this for you guys, for the active photographer. And I'm just going to carry on walking around. Let's see. There's really not a lot down this far end because, like I say, it's pretty pretty sparse at the moment where there are not all these cars. I've just noticed that there doesn't appear to be a way down, so I'm just going to go back on myself. So I might be able to get hold of Matt for a second. I know he loves it when I drag him over to have a chat or you know, get him on camera or something like that. So we'll see what he's got to say. He doesn't know that I'm going to have a word with him, but we shall see. Maybe get him to talk a little bit about the concept. Okay, Matt, here for a second, if you would. I know you love being interviewed by me.
I love it.
Okay, let's. I've just explained a little bit about what we're doing here and the location and what have you. Just tell us a little bit about the concept. Obviously, we're not going to say too much, and depending on when this goes out, we can and can't say certain stuff.
Next week, the deadline is Monday, and today's Friday.
So. Excellent, so it's pretty close.
It's pretty soon.
So the concept behind this shot, because this is the third in a series
of pictures for the Focus campaign this year, and this one is our model, our guy, has just been to Focus, got very excited. He's brought all the things he can get his hands on out of Focus. He's got back to the car park, and he's trying to load all the stuff into his medium-sized family hatchback. And he's finding it quite difficult because he's brought so much wonderful kit. So, yeah, that's a simple concept, really.
And it is kind of a photographer's dream. A lot of the I was just saying just a moment ago, half the kit that's here, stuff like the Nikon 400mm,
yeah.
To actually, if you had the chance to even have that in the back of your car, some people would kill for that.
I think it's actually worth more than my car, that.
Probably is. I've seen your car.
Yeah. No, it's camera porn. This is what we're doing, we're creating camera pools.
And it's actually quite nice. I mean, the location is ideal. Obviously, it is a car park, it is identifiable as a car park. But the contrast between this blue car, which is nice and crisp and clean, and then you've got all the lovely photo kit, which is nice and tidy, it is a typical multi-story car park.
Yeah, it's sort of grubby, urban, concrete car park, which is what we wanted, that nice, just take away from the rest of the stuff.
And for those of those people listening that obviously want to know what you're shooting on and what your setup's going to be, let's just have a little wander over to you've got a tripod already set up here.
You tell me which one it is. I don't know.
is this a Manfrotto? This would be your man. I know without looking. This is your Manfrotto 550B Pro B 55X Pro B. I know that because it's the newer version of my old 55 that I had for years. Okay. And yours has got the snazzy, you're not impressed, are you?
Yeah, no, it's a tripod. Basically. It's a really good tripod.
It is a really good tripod.
But it is a tripod.
But it's the one with the hand warmers, which is pretty, those of you that head out in the colds, and it's a pretty nippy morning, you know, as we stand here, it's well worth having these sort of...
Oh, that's what that's for.
Yeah, to keep your hands warm. It's not just to, you know...
Oh, I didn't know.
There you go. So, what do we have set up on the tripod, camera-wise?
We've got a Nikon D800 with a 24-70 2.8 and a Pocket Wizard plus two.
Excellent. And I was just alluding to the fact that in one of the many boxes here, we've got the some of the newer Pocket Wizard kit. But of course, this sort of stuff keeps on going. The plus twos, that's the ones that I use. And they...
these Pocket Wizards are my kit. I've had them for ages and use them all the time.
Mm. And the D800 is a fairly... I know you've used it a fair bit over recent months, but this is quite a kind of a new... purchase for you.
Yeah.
Are you fine? Because you shoot on a D4 as well, and before that a D700?
Before that, I had a
D3, D7000.
Yeah. You know more about my kit than I do.
That is worrying, isn't it? So how are you... Is the D800 essentially your primary camera, or does it depend on what you're shooting?
Depends what you're doing. It's for this, it's a still... effectively a still life shot. D800, perfect, huge file size. I can't remember what, but it's massive.
It's too much, is what it is.
No, it's not too much, it's perfect. But so it's an ideal camera for this, whereas D4 I use for sports and stuff. Well, what they're made for,
really. Because they're nice and quick.
Yeah, nice and quick.
Absolutely. And I was just saying before, I've dug out my old D200, which I don't use day to day now.
Yeah.
But for the time-lapse feature on a tripod, funny enough, I've got my old 55-0B Manfrotto tripod because it's heavy. It's just bolted there out of way, and it's just recording, you know, every 30 seconds. It's really good. Anyway, I shall leave you there because I know you'd love to carry on talking
to
me, as you always do, and we'll catch up with you later.
Cool.
Cheers, Matt. So there we go. He's going to go and cry in a corner now. So alongside me here, I'm just walking back to the position where the D200 is. I'm just going to have a quick look. The screen is black at the moment, which tells me that it's in between frames. You might have just heard that. There's another one. I've actually set that because the lighting levels change a little bit. I set it up on aperture priority, as I would normally, and just let... what have I got here? I've got an aperture of... Because it's so dark, I've got 5.6, which is fine on this super wide-angle lens. ISO, I think, is 1600. I will just double-check. 1600. So... a little bit grainy, but the way I'm going to be processing these shots to put it into a time-lapse video, that's actually going to be fine. The grain won't be an issue. I may make it black and white. I haven't decided yet. But what I originally did, the first few frames sort of were set on aperture priority, and there must have been a slight change in light, and some of the frames, probably about four or five of them, went really dark, and then the next ones were fine and what have you. So that's kind of as I suspected it would be. It's kind of what you'd expect. So I've set the camera onto manual. A lot of you that, you know, often turn the camera onto a P setting or even aperture priority, you just leave it like that. Don't forget that the manual setting is there for a reason. It's situations like this when you want to take complete control. And so it's set up a 25th of a second f5.6. And we've just got someone else turning up to lend a hand. I think there's some more kit being drafted in. In front of me here, I've got a couple of Manfrotto Nano stands, which you know that I use myself. They're super lightweight, portable, speedlight stands. So there's a couple of those here. And on this one, I've got a Nikon SB900. And also there's an 800 alongside it going around. That's as you look front on at the set, that's at about 3 o'clock at the moment. They're not actually sort of set up in their final position. as I go round, Matt, this beauty dish, is this a prop or is it going to be... it's going to be actually for lighting. I might do that. Good morning. Hi.
Gemma, you're all right.
Yeah, Giles, nice to meet you.
Giles, all right.
Good stuff.
Right.
So, we've got this Profoto soft light white beauty dish, which is going to be brought in. I'm just trying to pick up all the various lighting that we're using, because as you can imagine, we're probably going to have something in the region of about 7 or 8 lights here. So it's a very contained set. It's a very... we've got so much scope that we can... play with here. Got another nano stand as you look at the set, around about 11 o'clock, right at the back wall. That's got an SB900 on it. Walking past the car, which is a Volkswagen Polo, down on the floor. We've also now got another SB800. So it's a mix of kind of newer or slightly newer flash guns, some of the older ones as well, all perfectly functional. And that's kind of it. I'm going to go and have a chat with Tor. Tor, have you got a second?
Yes.
Good stuff. Tor is here, as he often is, helping Matt out. He's a bit of a lighting whiz. I think that's a pretty fair pretty fair statement. So I've mentioned that we're using a mix of lighting. We've got the SBs down here. We've got some of the Pro Photo. Tell us a little bit about sort of the Pro Photo, why we're using those, and the various sort of modifiers that we've got attached to them.
So I always like to start with my main key light, which is going to give me the fill for the whole shot. And then I will surround that with pins of light, either giving us backlight and edge light, by using a mixture of Pro Photo packs, Elinchron packs. Any of the manufacturer's tools are very good. I like the Pro Photo stuff because anywhere I go in the world, it's in any studio. It's pretty bomb-proof. And it's shaping tools, softboxes, etc. I'm a fay with, so I can set up, pack down really, really fast. The SB800s, 900s, any of those little Nikon speed lights or Canons or anyone else are fantastic. You can just throw them in a bag, they run on batteries, batteries are cheap. You can set them up remotely, sometimes using pocket wizards for bomb-proof, making sure they go off. And with the Nikon ones, you can use their remote setting, which is great.
Yeah.
It makes it very fast to set up.
A lot of the time, my preference for the outdoor stuff I shoot is with, like you say, because they're so portable. I use the pocket wizards, and I didn't mention before as I was walking around, these are, I think, are they mostly all going to be running off pocket wizards, or are we going to use the, I think it's the SU4?
I'll just pocket wizard.
Slave them off.
I'll slave them, and then I'll use a pocket wizard if I have to, really.
Yeah.
We're not using the sort of the Nikon pocket wizard sort of TTL balance. We're shooting everything manually and just guiding our lights. If it looks a little bit light or a little bit dark, just add a little stop, half a stop, quarter of a stop, which is simple to do, really.
And it's not exactly a harsh environment. I mean, I was saying that it's, you know, kind of this empty sort of upper level or tenth level of this car park, and it's a bit nippy, it's a bit grimy, what have you, but it's not like these having to work in minus temperatures today.
And also, we're in a location where we can't access any power. So I have a Pro Photo pack, which is a battery pack, but the price of that battery pack would buy a fair few speed lights, effectively.
Yeah.
And 5 meters, 10 meters away from us outside, it's F-16, F-22.
Yeah.
At 200 ISO. In here, I'm sort of 800 ISO, maybe F-4. So we're not having to overpower the sun, which is the only time that a speed light's a hassle. Yeah. If you shoot early, you shoot late, which is normally when the good light's around. Yeah. Those things are fantastic. Yeah. You know?
Good stuff. Well, I'm going to leave you to it because I know we've got progress to make. Thanks very much, Tor.
Thank you.
So, there we go. You'll probably hear me speaking about Tor somewhere along the way in the future. I do catch up with him and Matt along the way, and there might be some further conversations relating to the Focus on Imaging shoots. And just, you know, this year, 2013, I'm kind of drafting a few ideas at the moment to think about different content. So if you've got any ideas, stuff that you'd like to hear, if you'd like conversations that are, say, for example, myself, Matt, Tor, talking about technical wizardry, technical setup, that sort of thing, then by all means, just let me know. There's not a lot more I can say about this because we're kind of just in the early stages. As I look at it, we're just around about, it's about 12 o'clock now. It was about 1:45 when I started recording. The light is behaving outside. I don't think it's actually going to come through under, sort of through this, the gridding through onto the set. But as Tor said, the speed lights do a great job in here. They're totally sort of self-sufficient, as it were. It's going to be great. It's going to be really good. So, not a lot more to say. I'm going to go and lend a hand setting up items in and on and around the car. I'm going to take a few more shots because, of course, I'm doing behind the scenes stuff. And I may actually do a little bit of recording once Matt is going. And we've got sort of the shoot sort of underway proper. We're waiting for Steve, our model, to turn up at a later time. So once that's all underway, maybe I'll do a little bit of have a little bit of a chat with you just to kind of talk around, maybe get a bit of a glimpse into the actual process of the shoot itself. So, for the time being at least, I will leave it there. So, it's about 2:30 now, and we've been underway taking the actual shots for around about probably around about 10 minutes. So you can see it's a long setup and a lot of sort of lighting tests and finalising where things are going, and then we get on actually take the pictures. So now we have Steve, who is stood as the subject in front of the car, and the lighting setup, now that I can see it, we've got Matt sat in the back of a car that he's kind of just perching on, and in front of him Steve is there with the car with all the kit sort of bundling out of it. You've got the main 7 foot Profoto light, which is as Tor explained before, is the key light. And then variously dotted around, you've got, I'm just going to walk around set. To the left of the set, you've got one speed light in the foreground, which is picking up some of the one of the side doors is open, so you've got kit sort of bundling out of the back door there, so that's lighting that. You've got a second speed light, which is pointing, just double check, which is sort of the very furthest point of the set, pointing across to the back wall into a corner. You've then got round stage right of the car, you've got the one of the SB900s pointing right into a corner, so it's just lighting that dark corner. And then you've got another SB800, which is used to light the right hand side, just to add a bit of light to Steve. So in total we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lights, if I've counted that right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lights, and that's essentially it. So, you know, sometimes you think you're going to use a lot more lighting, other times you can probably hear we've got some music going in the background just to add a bit of atmosphere, and yeah, so it's all coming together really nicely. So a bit of juggling, a bit of moving of vehicles. I moved my car because it was just in the corner of the shot, which was fine while we were setting up, but no need for it to be there right now. And we're just going through a number of poses. Steve is variously holding various bits of kit. He's got cameras sort of draped off him. He's got a foot up on a box, and he's kind of got a box in his hands. And it's just all coming together. And in terms of how long this is going to take now to finalise the pictures and to get... Bear in mind, we're looking for one main shot. There aren't repetitions here. We've just got someone else turning up. It could be another 20 minutes, it could be another sort of hour. It really depends what we're happy with, what Matt's happy with. So it's all coming together. What else can I tell you? Matt's just powered up his computer, so he's going to be previewing some of the pictures. And the main challenge we have at the moment is the sunlight, because the sun is shining down towards where we are, and it's essentially streaming through this grid area down onto the set. It's probably about sort of 4, maybe 5 foot away from where Steve is standing. We're having to try to get around that, and as I think Tor said before, The bigger lights are fine. The SBs, you have to kind of think about how that's going to overcome the daylight. But what we're doing is actually using some sort of go-between fabric or board to block out some of that sunshine. And as I say, at the moment it's just cutting across, and it's not a problem, but it will start to become a problem once it starts striking the props and Steve and the car and what have you. So we're using California Sun Bounce reflectors. People know those as being good reflectors, what have you. Those are kind of on standby when they should be needed. We also have some various sort of grip equipment, as it were, and sort of poles and sort of clamps that we can use just to erect some sort of a screen. So it's, you know, time is not exactly against us. We've got sort of as long as it takes. But this sunshine, I'm just walking sort of right to the edge where we're looking down sort of 10 levels, whatever, down to the ground. And it is, yeah, it's a beautiful afternoon. It's a bit more cloud now, blue sky. It's actually feeling quite warm with the sun streaming through. But it's not ideal for what you're wanting when you're trying to create this sort of closed set. Now, of course, you have to go with what you're given. You have to know how to get around things like this, which is why we pack so much kit for shoots like this. So you've got your lighting, you've got your props, you've got your subject, but then you need to have kit which is there just in case. So people often think about having backup cameras, backup lenses. Well, that's kind of a given. You can't just have the one camera and think that if that breaks you can, you know, create images out of nothing. But it is worth having extra sort of all this sort of grips, grip equipment. So things like the screens, things like gaffer tape, you know, it's, we get through a lot of electrical tape, gaffer tape, that sort of thing. And yeah, it's times like this when you need them. So we're just having a little bit of a break. To actually talk through the shots as they're happening is probably not going to work, so I won't be doing that. But essentially it's a vertical framed shot, just a variety of postures that Matt's working Steve through, framing it ever so slightly different each time, and so that you're going to be getting different facial expressions, stances, that sort of thing. The thing that we're having to bear in mind is that when the picture is in its final state, as it were, it's going to have the Focus on Imaging branding on there. It's going to have a QR code in the top right-hand corner as well. So there are all these considerations that you have to think about when framing a picture, because, for example, if you were shooting a picture for a cover of a magazine, of course, whatever title you're shooting for, they're going to want to put that across the top, and then thinking about headline text and this, that and the other. Same thing with this, allowing enough space around the frame for a couple of reasons. One is obviously for that, getting the various text and logos and this, that and the other in there. But the other thing, of course, is, you know, the lenses that we use are nice and sharp, nice and crisp and what have you, but it is worth bearing in mind just to give a little bit extra around the outside, so that if there is ever so slightly some sort of fall off, most often you'll find with super wide angle lenses you'll get that and what have you, there is just the opportunity then just to crop in ever so slightly. Of course you don't want to lose image quality, but it is there. But all these little considerations are things that you want to be thinking about, concentrating on, so when the sun starts to shine in and sort of you know, sort of bathes the set or threatens to bathe the set in sunlight, you then have to stop and deal with that and what have you. So it's quite a low-key affair today, actually. There's only a handful of us that are shooting this. Sometimes it can be a cast of, you know, 30-odd people. It really depends on the, you know, the shot that we're trying to create. But, yeah, so on a slight sort of bit of a breather, just having a look at some pictures. And that's kind of it, really. I'm just going to go up and talk to Matt again. Let's see what he's got to say this time. Okay. Let's have a look. Matt,
yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you're looking at on your computer?
Are you recording now?
I am recording now.
So I can't say, like, pictures of your mum or anything.
No, you can't say that.
Okay, no, I'm not looking at any pictures of your mum. that's for later. But right now, I'm just looking at the shots that we just shot a minute ago. I've selected four quick previews. Which we will send over to the client now, mm-hmm. and see if they're happy. And if they are, it's a wrap. If not, we'll crack on.
Excellent. So I've just been explaining about how you've got to put the Focus branding and the various text, and
yep.
and then you'll put the QR code in the top right.
Yeah, I've got a QR code going in.
But again, this is just an example, I guess, of why we try to get the picture as close to how we want it at the time, because although you will be doing some post-production, to look at that mock-up now, essentially it's all there. It gives a really good impression of what to expect.
The shot is essentially, there's things like you say, like the carrier bags at the moment don't have logos, and there's a couple of bits and things, and I've got a sneaky little trick up my sleeve as well of something that I want to add to the shot,
okay.
which I'll tell you about later.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, there's a little bit of post work to be done, but not a lot. Most of it has been done in camera.
Excellent. Good stuff. Well, I will leave Matt to it. And mum jokes aside, I think he's onto something there. So yeah, I'm going to wrap things up there for today, guys. I hope this has been informative. I hope it's given you a glimpse into just what it is behind the scenes of a press ad shoot for, on this occasion, Focus on Imaging. I continue, as we do this, I continue to be shooting the behind-the-scenes shots and the time-lapse pictures. I've changed position of that a couple of times. So in the fullness of time, that video will be up on YouTube, and it will be up on the Active Photographer, of course. So, of course, I will put the link into that as and when the time is right. And I encourage you all to have a look, because it kind of will bring together everything that that I've been talking about, and that Matt and Tor and everyone's been talking about. So I will leave that there for today, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Don't forget to keep an eye out over the coming days for the write-up and video content from this latest shoot, which I'll be publishing just as soon as I get the opportunity. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the currentphotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at currentphotographer.com/podcast.